third chapter. Should be a familiar passage or two here. But the word I got from the Lord this morning is not. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You guys find it okay? This is attributed to Solomon, or Koheleth, or the preacher. We're not real sure who it is, but most folks believe it's Solomon that wrote this. We begin at verse 1, Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail, which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now. And that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. A question before we turn to the Lord in a word of prayer is, what time is it for you? Heavenly Father, speak now. Roll like thunder in our hearts if it's that monumental to us. Or just turn us a little bit back on course if that's what's needed. Heavenly Father, may we be able to see by the strength of your Holy Spirit that you are doing the work, that you are making all things new, that you are recreating and creating in us as a new creation. Being clothed with your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, from on high, that we would put on a new life and the newness of life that you speak of to us. As this message unfolds, Lord Jesus, be among us, be within us, teach us, embrace us, and encourage us to move forward. I do ask you this in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus, so that the words in my mouth and the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. There is a time for each of these things in our lives. There is a time for each of those things to happen in our life. There is a time to mourn and a time to laugh. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. The question is, do you know, or have you gotten from God word on where you are right now? I've been seeking the Lord on where we are as a church here at Wesley Chapel right now. I've been seeking Him, asking Him, what exactly is the thing that we need to do? Do we need to gather stones or set stones apart? What season are we in? Are we in the fall of life where the leaves are shedding and we're getting ready to go through a dormant spell? Or are we in the spring where things begin to bloom and grow? Are we in the season of prosperity or harvest? Are we in the season of preparation, which is winter, for the growing season? Where are we? It is not a matter of me knowing. It's a matter of us trusting God's leadership and then sharing with us how to move from where we're at to where He wants us next. Has anybody in here ever heard of the 80-20 rule? Anybody? No? Well, it's not a church thing, but it is. It's more like a principle that seems to play out that in most businesses, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's a fact. And 20% of what you do accomplishes 80% of what you're trying to do. And in the church, 20% give more than 80% in terms of offering and things like that and working around the church. That's just a general rule. In our lives, if we cut off the chaff, which is the 80%, the 20% will take root and grow and fulfill us better. However, discernment is what Ecclesiastes talks about, is discerning what the time is for you. We read in different places in Scripture that we need to know the state of our heart, who we are, what we're like, what we're about, what God is working on. Each person in this room can admit we're not perfect, but are we allowing the parts that aren't so perfect, God's workmanship, to change? Or do we hide them under the rug? How do we do that? How do we handle when we know that we are not perfect, but God is calling us to continue to mature and grow? I was talking with a friend this week whose relationship with her ex-husband is deteriorated to the point of they can't even speak. I said, "What was so important about this man that you married him?" And she said, "He made me laugh. He made me laugh." I said, "And?" She said, "Well, he can be nice when he wanted to be. What else?" He could kiss good. Wonder which one got her. What kind of a relationship is that if that's all there was after several years of marriage? That was all that was good. We have admirable qualities. Each person in this room has something that's wonderful about you. That needs room to grow. However, if all this other junk is inside, we need to get rid of it. The junk. So that part which is good can become better. That part of our lives which gives us the most blessing, we need to focus on that. But sometimes something distracts us. And something will distract us from God's work in our hearts and in our lives. And when we do that, we get complacent and we don't do anything anymore. We just say, well, I got this quality and I can do this, but we never change or challenge it or improve it. Because we know we got it, but we don't do anything about it. It's at those times when Ecclesiastes speaks to us and he says, where are you right now? Are you growing? Or are you being stirred up? Are you shallow ground and God's turning the spade on you to unearth the junk so he can rake out the garbage? What's God doing in your life right now? What's he been trying to do with you and through you that you've been hesitant on? You see, there's a time for us to be planted. And there's a time for us to be plucked up from that and do something else. A couple weeks ago, we talked about attachment in the Sunday evening service. I want to share with you that there are times in our lives when we see our tendencies or our patterns of behavior, and God shows us clearly and he says, okay, it's time to mature those areas. And you do one of two things. You either get rid of it, or you let it be healed. If it's a painful loss, or something that's keeping you from growing, it's time to grieve it and move beyond it. Do you know how many times people have told me in the last 3 years working that they are mad at God because he took things from them? Family, loved ones, they're angry with God because God took them. And I simply said, how do you know it was God and not the devil? I think you're blaming the wrong person. How do you know God wasn't trying to bless you and you took it as a time of God trying to curse you? That God was present and available as he always is, even in times of suffering. This is one of the most difficult things we have as believers, is we think that we've got everything we need without maturing. How diligent are we about asking God to show us our true nature? Here's a challenge for you. Ask your best friend or your spouse. Is there anything I can improve on? Anything God needs to work on in me? You know what? After about 10 minutes of listening to all the things wrong, you'll get pretty humble. You'll have a list that'll take you years to figure out. You want to get uncomplacent, ask someone to say, is there anything you see that I can improve on? Please be honest, even if it hurts me. And believe me, when God does surgery, it hurts. But after he's done the surgery, it hurts less every day. Think about that a moment. There are parts of us that we don't like anybody to know about. There are some secrets we said to ourselves, I'll never tell anybody, I'm taking it to the grave. Those secrets might kill you. And if they're painful ones, you need to let God heal them. There is a time to keep a secret, and there's a time for it to be healed. There's a time to be withdrawn and closed and silent, and there's a time to speak. We must take opportunity when it's our time. So how do we know when it's our time? It tells us. How we can find out. And I think this is something that would help us even now to begin to discern things. The scripture tells us how we can begin to do and understand different things. In 1 Corinthians, he gives us a list of gifts. And each person in this room has one of these gifts. But there are two that I want to point out to you this morning that you may not be familiar with so much. And it says it, and it sounds like it's the same thing, but it's not. Because the Greek word is different. And it says, and this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, he's talking about the different gifts, administrations, if you will, from the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8 it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." The word of wisdom simply means that you have an insight into what the Scripture is saying. That gift is that you can read a passage and someone else will be clueless and you can say, "This is what God is saying. The Holy Spirit expressly revealed this to me." When we're stuck sometimes on a verse, it's because that's where God wants us to talk to someone who understands that verse. And when we understand it, it will challenge us because God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between joint and marrow, soul and spirit. Its job is to get the garbage out. Its job is to cleanse you and make you holy. The Word within saves you. That's the first thing in that verse. And the second thing, and this is the other one, it says, and by the way, the word of wisdom is like we would think, something that is learned, something that is a nugget, a morsel of the truth. The other one, it says, "To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Now that word of knowledge doesn't mean wisdom. The word there is rhema. Excuse me. And rhema refers to an insight into a person. You might know someone just by looking at them and say, "You look like you're having a tough day." And someone else would look at that person and say, "How'd you know that?" That's because God has given something to you to be able to discern how that person is that day. If you've lived with someone a long time and been married to them, usually you can look at them and pretty well guess if they're happy. But a word of knowledge says, this is where God is working on you. This is where you're struggling. This is what God has for you right now. This is your growing edge. And He wants you to work on it. Every now and then we come and we pray at the altar, and it's because we've all of a sudden become clear on what God wants us to work on. Something we need to pray about. Some character defect, or a place in our life where we've harbored a sin, or we haven't been totally faithful with His Word. And we come and we pray, and that's because all of a sudden, when this knowledge, the rhema, it's another word for the Holy Spirit, or the spiritual word, is the rhema. It's a spiritual understanding that the Holy Spirit reveals to someone else about you. Maybe you've had someone come up to you and say, "You know, I think you're struggling with this." And you go, "I don't know what you're talking about." But if you listen to it, you can discern if it really is true. And if it is, you can receive that as if from God. I believe that each person in this room always has an area of their life that God is working on. There's always a season. You're either growing or you're waiting to be planted again. You're either letting something go or you're grasping onto something new. That there's a season for our lives, and the same way with this church. What I understand, and y'all would understand this better than me, is before I came here, this church went through a season of tearing things apart, breaking. And now it's a season of coming together, of growing together and learning one another. It's a season of finding a new identity. It's the same way with the church as it is with each person. When God begins to work on you, He changes your identity. You might not think that that's a big deal, but think of it like this. When Saul of Tarsus was riding along the Damascus Road and he saw the light, all of a sudden, he said, "I'm no longer Saul of Tarsus. I'm Paul, an apostle. I have a new identity." I have a new name. I have a purpose. I have something I must fulfill. And I've got to get rid of the 80%. If you look in Philippians chapter 3, you see what Paul got rid of. He said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, according to the law, perfect. I persecuted the church. I did everything, he said, but all this is garbage that I might have the one thing that matters to me. That one thing that matters to you more than anything else, that everything else keeps you from. There's a season to understand what that one thing is. This church has an identity that's coming forth and emerging. We don't know what it is yet. We don't always know what our own personal purpose is until we allow God to get rid of the stuff that isn't it. That's our task. To say, God, teach us through your word what I need to work on, what I need to understand, and speak to me about my character. About who I am in Christ Jesus. Tell me. Tell me what I need to do to be more like Him. And I will do it. If you will say that to Him this morning, He will get busy and start telling. It is a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful blessing when all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and say, God, you got me doing this today. And then all of a sudden what Paul says comes real clear. You don't want to look right or left. You just want to do this one thing. All the things that used to distract you, they don't distract you anymore. Because you want to keep doing this one thing. Because it excites you. Those things are not lost to you that thrill your heart. The things that you can do for God that make you overjoyed, they're not lost to you. They've just been buried under the 80% of the junk. If you ask God to burn the chaff, He will do it. I promise you. And when He does, all of a sudden your life will dramatically change and you'll have an energy and a joy that increases and increases. It's scriptural. You're not sure about it? Look in Matthew. Where it says a man had several talents. He gave 10 to one guy. Or was it 5? I think it was 10. And he doubled it. To another guy he gave a few less. And he doubled it. Another guy he gave 1. And that guy buried it. Under his fear. Under his concerns of the master. And when the master came back and he saw the one. The others he gave a blessing to. And said, you'll have more. But to the one he said, because you were not willing to invest in the gift you were given, even that gift is lost. What season is it for you? What time is it for you? As you discern that, you will also help us here at Wesley Chapel to discern our identity in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us. That You're very patient with us. You know all about us. Everything. And yet there's part of us we don't even like to admit to. And You say, oh, I already know about that. Let me heal it. Let me restore you. Let me set you beside healing waters. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before You now, we ask that You would give us our identity. Tell us our purpose. Burn off the chaff in us. That we would be obedient and faithful and joyous as Your servants. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for allowing us to serve You. May we ever learn how to do so faithfully. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hey, Jane, I am mine,
O Lord. Okay. Hey, when we sing that, could you kind of play it real slow? Okay. All right, our closing hymn is I Am Thine, O Lord, on page 8.